It's the Tiltcast, episode 219, Half Cast.
This week we talk a little bit about Darkest Dungeon, Lego Marvel Heroes, Destiny, and 7 Days to Die. And of course this week we're talking a little bit more about some future plans. And this week is me and Jason, and we will be talking a lot about what we're going to be doing with this website going forward. So stay tuned for a lot of news and announcements. It's a kind of an abnormal show for us.
Woo woo! And welcome back to another episode of the Tiltcast. Fairly small show this week. It's just me and the Nasty Knots.
And we're not really doing a really big show today. We'll tell you why. It's more than just me and Jason being on the show, but it has a lot to do with... we're going to be producing new content for the show, which we are doing today, and we're thinking about every other week releasing at least one long view video that we're going to call a tilt look, and that's going to have basically a quick video of me and whoever from Tiltcast is going to be recording, plus a video of a game. It'll be a different format. We're not going to be doing, be more introductory, kind of what we think versus all the humor. Now sometimes we're going to have humor on there as we get more proficient doing it.
Yeah.
And we've done a lot of them, but for right now, we want to start providing alternate content on top of podcast, and we have a limited schedule. So what that means is every other week we do a podcast, every other week we do a video. But we'll continue to bring content weekly to you, and then as we get faster at this, and we'll produce more content.
Yep, and it's just something we kept racking our brains. What was something we could do? Because obviously our good buddy Earl doesn't have the fundage nor the internets to be able to do content on his own or have the ability to be able to join us via Skype or anything like that for any kind of content we would do all together. So what's a way we can get all of us together without straining anybody's schedules to be able to do a first look type video?
Well, we aren't, you know, a news site that makes money. We're not a gaming site that has people behind it that can get us interviews with people like Peter Molyneux, etc. You know, we don't have that kind of clout. So that means that we all work regular day jobs, and we do this for fun. Yep. Which also means when you're working a crap load of overtime, that you do this when you can, which still ends up being every week. It means that we give up a lot of free time to do this, but we have fun doing it, so we don't care. But it also means that we can't do this daily. It means that we can't do a shitload of like retakes and everything else. This is right off the cuff.
Yep. So what's going to happen today? It's going to be a much briefer show. We're going to get into our regular format with just Justin and myself, and then we're just going to take our normal quick break and do some news, and then hopefully sometime within the next week, 2 weeks at the most, you guys will be able to reference the video on YouTube. And we will let you know via Facebook and Twitter when everything's up and ready to go.
Yeah, just like we've been doing. I mean, we always announce the episode via Facebook and usually Twitter, whatever I remember. Episode usually goes up Wednesday to Thursday night. Aside from a couple weeks ago, we've been doing it every week.
Yeah.
So you will get regular content just in different formats.
Yeah. And until we figure out everything, because behind the scenes, of course, Trent's still helping us out a lot with this. Until we have everything fully up and running, it may take a little bit longer for the video to get out. But we'll, once we get streamlined, guys, it'll be a regular thing, just like the show.
And I guess kind of just jumping in, because this is going to be a short show, because we're producing two bits of content today.
Yep.
We've been playing a lot of Destiny lately. I know you guys have heard that to death.
It's just so easy. As much as I think our arguments, you know, in shows running up to the shows running up to the Game of the Year episode, and our views on the Game of the Year episode still apply to Destiny. It is very much an easy game to just pick up as a group, or even as a single with all of the bounties and the, you know, and the daily heroic story every day and stuff like that. It's very easy to just pick it up, play for a couple hours, set it back down.
Well, let's just be honest. What's come out in February, of all of which nobody in the cast is playing?
Exactly.
And what?
You know, it's just, it's one of those things.
Oh,
you
guys, Dying Light. And yeah, I kind of got Dying Light. Dying Light stalled for me. Let's say, I almost picked that up five or six different times this week.
Yeah.
And I put it down to play something else.
You know, and I keep meaning to go pick it up, and I keep not getting the time to actually go to GameStop and pick it up. You know. But guys, I promise I will be going and picking it up. We'll work out a review between Trent, Justin, and I on the game.
Well, and you know, I mean, there's been some other things. I mean, there was, Grey Goo came out, which is pretty decent. I'm almost done with that. Grim Fandango came out. I was never a big Grim Fandango fan. Not going to lie, I don't do a lot of adventure games.
Yeah.
And I know there are people that are big fans of this. It's not really my genre.
Yeah. Nor mine. Same with Rayman Legends. Like, I download, you know, it's free on Xbox Live this month for Xbox One owners. So, you know, I just downloaded it because I thought maybe it was a game that the wife and I would play together, because, you know, her gaming aptitude's not near as high as, like, ours. It's not like we're excellent by any means, but we've just played a whole lot of games, you know, since we were kids. She hasn't, so.
Let's say the Order 1886 came out, and when I heard it was a less than 10-hour game, or right about 10-hour games, I was like, not $60 worth.
Yeah, you guys will probably see us look at that once it's probably half the price.
Honestly.
You know, honestly, it's one of those things. We do this for fun. This is our outlet, and, you know, we like entertaining people. We like informing people. That's why we do this every week. You know, we still have money we have to budget too, just like you guys do at home. And, you know, and that's why we think we're fairly unique compared to a lot of the other podcasts out there. You know, a lot of the other podcasts out there are sponsored by someone, or, you know,
make a crap load of money off ads, or,
yeah,
they're getting a lot of these games for free, so it's easy for them to go through everything and be like, maybe I like this, maybe I don't.
Well, and a lot of the other podcasts that are smaller like us, you know, they've been on YouTube forever, boosting ad revenue and things like that, and, you know, we just don't do that. So
I will say, I'm trying to think of everything that's coming out, and the things that I'm, like, Monster Hunter 4, if it was on anything other than 3DS, I'd be playing it. I can't play handhelds. And then I know that Bloodborne's coming out soon, which I will be getting and talking about, recording some kind of video content for. We got, what is that game coming out for? Sid Meier's Starships. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
That comes out Thursday, which by the time this is released, I will probably be recording something for that. Because, big fan of Sid Meier games, is actually playing Beyond Earth when Jason came over today.
Yep.
Just trying to get back into that groove. I really don't think Beyond Earth is as bad as everybody makes it out to be. It's just Civ in space.
No. I think with that, and we've said it before, I think everybody expected something more polished. But, you know, when Civ first released, it wasn't exactly, you know, the gold nugget. You know, it took them a couple years to really get it down, and it took a couple of expansions to really make that game a polished gold nugget of a game.
Well, I'm thinking of everything's coming out. Bloodborne is probably the one thing that I'll be playing a lot of next or this month, along with Sid Meier's Starships. And then you also got things like Dark Souls 2, Origin of the First Sin, I believe is what it's called. That's coming out, I want to say like April, yeah, Scholar of the First Sin, that comes out on April 7th, I believe. And that's going to be, supposedly they changed a lot of stuff up, so maybe something because I've played a lot of Dark Souls that I'll go ahead and do. And then in May we got Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, which I know
all of us are going to jump on that like it's a bleeding calf.
Oh yeah, I just... Banner Saga 2 is supposed to come out this year, too. If you haven't played Banner Saga 1, you totally should.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And we recommend that to everybody. That is a solid game.
I don't think of anything else. I'm just kind of scanning here to see what's up. Hopefully, I know once they do the... So, talk a lot about 7 Days to Die. And me and Rusty... Me and Rusty were frustrated because peer-to-peer wasn't working the other night.
Yeah.
And I said, screw it. I'm renting a server. And their peer-to-peer occasionally won't work, and me and Rusty have a limited amount of time, but when me and him can actually play a game together, so in a game like that, you want to invest a couple hours into, and we got frustrated one night, and I just went ahead and rented a server. It was the night after the podcast, actually.
Yep.
Which had been Sunday night last week. I found a server, it's like FPSservers.com, was like $7.99 for a 4-slot server.
Wow.
Which... isn't horrible, especially when I'm not spending any money on games.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is just the new server setting or not, but basically any time that we both... if nobody's logged in, it pauses the game. And if we log in, then it resumes, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's great. And it...
I don't know if that's a feature of the game or not, but having the ability to just... I was worried that zombies were going to overtake our fortress when we were gone. Or call our spikes or whatever, and just none of that happened. So the fact that it does that for us is really fucking cool.
And you know, it makes it so easy. Again, it with 7 days, again, one of those things. I've got time economy as much as Rusty does. So, well, you know, jumping in on your own and just try and start off from day one over and over again was frustrating.
Well, this was the one way that I figured that we could all do something occasionally. Jump in, play a little bit, get back off.
Yep.
And it's cool because we started off with this 3-story building that we reinforced. I found a building while he was off doing something else. He was doing schoolwork. Wrapped it in sandbags to like protect it some.
Yep.
And then eventually replaced it with concrete. And then once we got to a self-sustaining point, like we're at a point where we have a farm... we have a whole forest of trees that we've planted around the whole thing.
Yeah. We're farming trees. We're farming corn.
We're making our own fuel now.
Making our own fuel. Chainsawing auger is like sex.
Yeah. When you finally discover like using an auger versus like a mining pick, it is...
Or even dynamite.
Yeah, because we made a... I just started digging a hole one day. I spent about an hour carving out a hole, and then...
And while the fire axe is good for trees...
Yeah, that...
Man, chainsaw. That chainsaw is... Oh.
Well, we found a couple of them. And so, basically, anytime you cut down a tree in that game... And for anybody that didn't know, 7 Days to Die is like a tower defense slash crafting game.
Yeah.
Kind of like that game that they're... who's making it? It's called Forts. It's made by the same people that make... Is it... It's not People Could Fly... Same people made Gears of War. Epic.
Epic, yeah.
So Epic's making Forts, which is kind of similar in a way, except it's more trap-based and a little bit more, for lack of a better word, zany. Like, it's very cartoony.
Definitely.
Class-based stuff, kind of like Team Fortress meets crafting, meets traps, meets tower defense. I don't know. It's kind of like that, except different. It's more based on, like, finding food, finding... away shelter, find a way to survive hordes, and me and him did a lot of scouting runs until we came across everything we basically needed. And right now we're mostly self-sustaining, aside from a few things like you still can't grow paper, so you still have to go. You need paper for shotgun shells.
You can't farm eggs.
No.
So you gotta go out and find them.
Can't farm brass. You can't. Brass isn't naturally occurring in the world either, so you have to get it from scavenging. But you know what we did find is I found all the parts for sniper rifles, found all the parts for SMG. And we have like 2,000 rounds of ammo right now sitting in an ammo crate.
Yep.
And we did have about 700 shotgun shells, but me and him went through some pretty nasty hordes. And yeah. It's like day 33 at this point on that game. So every 7 days it does a horde rush.
Yep.
Where you can't hide from the horde and the horde can find you. And there's just sends wave after wave of zombies at your base, basically, or your location. And if there's a structure in between you and them, then it starts staring down the structure. Well, it has different classes of zombies. You have spider zombies, which crawl. You have regular zombies, which are just part of the horde. You have some variants in the regular guys. You got people that shamble, which are harder to shoot in the head because they move. They kind of hobble.
Yep.
You have crawlers, which are you don't see because they usually hide in the grass.
Yep. And they don't use their legs, so it's very... And they move very slowly, so a lot of times... By the time you spot them, they're up close to you, almost close enough to disable a leg.
Well, and they're set up right now where they'll break legs.
Yeah.
Or sprain legs or whatever, so that if they get too close, then it'll cause a long-lasting injury, which will slow your movement speed. You got other classes in the game. You got the... I don't know what they're called.
Bloaters.
Yeah, and the bloaters are fat zombies, but they take a lot of hits.
Yep.
And then you got the cop zombies. And the cop zombies always have good ammo on them, but they do two things. They vomit. They vomit, and the vomit destroys structures.
Yep.
And they also explode. So they're kind of like a mix between a spitter and a...
And the vomit is no fun if it hits you either.
Yeah, without armor, it's an insta-kill.
Yep.
If they explode next to you, it's an insta-kill. But basically, if you shoot them once, they start running, no matter if it's day or night. They catch up to you, and then they explode. And it usually kills you. But,
sniper rifles for them bitches.
Yeah. Even the crossbow and a headshot will kill them. But you have to headshot them.
Yep.
But we got into a couple of really nasty zombie hordes. Like, where we're at right now, we're getting more hordes.
Yeah.
And it seems like it is triggered by noise. Like, so if me and Rusty just pull out SMGs and just go full auto, like, we do attract a horde. And there was one day that me and him were fighting, like, we were in the middle of building this castle that we started. And me and him, in about 10 minutes, killed about 200 zombies. Which, in that game, is pretty incredible, because most of the time, when you first start out, it's like a horde of, like, 10 or a horde of 15. This was an ever-spawning horde behind a hill, and I think the game was just spawning them and spawning them and spawning them, so we're killing them so fast.
Oh, jeez.
And they were going right through our forest. So we kept getting hung up in the trees, and then get hit, and...
Yeah, because that forest is tight. Rusty planted that shit compact.
Well, you get seeds from cutting down trees, so what we did is we took all the seeds and we planted this, like, plot of land where there's, like, 300 trees inside of, like, a square block, basically.
Yep, and it only takes, like, 3 game days for them to fully grow, so it's, like, an ever-growing supply of wood.
Well,
that's amazing.
And that was our idea. It's like, hey, let's just plant trees over here because why should we run over to get trees? We should just replant them and just keep going. But, yeah, that game has gotten fairly difficult at this point. I just have it on the regular, normal difficulty, but it's ramping up. The more days that we're in there, it's spawning more hordes, it's making it more difficult. So me and him said, fuck it, we're building a castle.
Yep.
So we got away from the 3-story structure, and we... Concrete takes several stages. Concrete takes iron, which you melt to forge iron, which you melt to iron pipes, which you turn into rebar, which you then... wrap the rebar in wood, and then you take that wood and pour concrete mix. Concrete mix is made from gravel and rocks. And the whole process takes a little while. But we have a 2-walled thick concrete structure now that is basically like 15 feet high. That has parapets on every corner that we're going to set up shooting platforms on. We're still building it. We actually framed out the inside and put, like, 4 storage rooms.
Shoot, I'm surprised you just didn't go easy and convert the existing building into it.
We want it to be our own, and it's on a hill so we can see further out, and then we planned it out so that it was at least 10 blocks from the edge so that we could put 10 rows of spikes around the side so they'd have to walk over a lot before they even got up to the concrete.
Yeah.
And even the bloaters blowing up don't even really damage the concrete, so... At this point, the game would have to throw, like, an ever-supplying
floor. Full concrete floor so they can't dig through it as easily?
Yeah, the floor's all concrete as well, so if they manage to dig under the hill and start digging under the structure, it would still run into concrete in the floor. So, that's one thing else the game does sometimes, which is weird. If you put a structure on a hill, or if for some reason they're not doing enough damage to the side, if they find if the straightest path to your structure encounters earth, the zombies will just start digging.
Yeah.
And then they'll come up to the floor, which is kind of funny. But this is on Unity 4, and it's, I won't lie, it's not an amazing looking game by any means.
But it's still fairly polished. Now, granted, they've still got some issues. Like the other night when I jumped on, I start going, and after we played Destiny, I start going to clear out that school.
Mm-hmm.
The steps up front, I start clearing zombies out, start pulling them back towards that door to funnel them.
Yeah.
Somehow it clipped me on the steps so that as I was backing up, I was taking fall damage.
Oh, that's weird.
And I ended up dying, and my backpack ended up in the air in front of the steps, like just hanging there.
Well, they're getting away from Unity 4. They actually went with Unity 5.
Yep.
And what they're about to do with Unity 5 is they've retextured everything.
Yep.
Updated the graphics heavily, and it looks... This isn't Crytek, I will say that, but it's a mix between... Like, if you took Half-Life 2, it looks about like Half-Life 2 at 1080p right now.
Yeah.
That's about the easiest way to describe it.
With a texture mod. Yeah. And what that'll do is that'll allow them to do smaller voxels, so it'll reduce a lot of the clipping that you run into now. You're going to be able to, you know, obviously the textures are going to be a whole lot better.
Well, and...
And it'll allow them to do... certain physics, because they're talking about adding vehicles, so it's going to allow them to do some of the finer physics, such as a wheel spinning on a car
or
a motorcycle.
Just to kind of show you how this looks now versus then, you guys can't see it, but that's the burned out area now.
Whole lot more burned out trees and
a lot more variants and shapes.
The rust is a whole lot more defined on the pick.
Yeah, that's the new pick, the half pick. They've got more new zombies. This is the burned out zombie. And I guess what he does, since he's in that burned out area, he's still on fire.
Ever on fire.
He's supposed to do burn damage. So that's at night. But
yeah.
I'm really excited about the game. Like, there's always changes. If you guys are really into it or looking for more info, I follow a development blog. Is if you look up 7 Days Development Blog, there's a Tumblr account. About every couple of days, they post new screenshots of what they're doing.
Yeah.
I'll do a video on this when they do the big update.
Yes.
Because they're supposed to be adding a moped to the game, which makes a big difference. I mean, that's the new forest.
Oh, yeah. That's going to allow us, and that might be one of our first tilt looks, because that's going to allow us to go out and be able to explore an entire area or an entire mapple, our novice game map, a whole lot easier.
You can see they're adding a lot of fog and new skyboxes and things.
We won't be spending 2 days to go out to an area and, you know, try to hold up at a building at night just to, oh man, the zombies look.
That's one of the new zombies.
The texture on that fucker. You know what that looks like? That almost looks like... That texture on that zombie looks... Shoot, that even looks better than, like, Resident Evil 5.
Well, they're doing some more... They said feral zombies. I don't know what that means. Maybe they're runners in the day or whatnot. But they do a lot with this game, and it's been in alpha for about a year and a half now.
Yeah.
But a small development team, I think total staff is around 30.
Yep.
That work on the game, and there are updates every 2 or 3 days to their blog, and then they'll release the major update to the client about every month or two. They're kind of behind on an update, and I know they've been doing the big update right now.
But that's because they've been working on moving to Unity 5, and, you know, they've got a lot of big aspirations for the next update. They really want to do the moped. If they have it ready, they said they want to do other vehicles too, but it may just be the moped to start, just to see how well it works.
Well, you guys didn't start playing this with me way back when it basically looked like Minecraft.
Yeah, no. Well, I didn't have a computer that would really efficiently run it until.
Well, it's what it looked like. It looked like a Minecraft mod when it first started, and then it's just kind of turned its own. Originally, it was using square shapes instead of like diamond shaped voxels. So the square shapes meant that you would build a house always in blocks.
Yeah,
you would dig always in blocks. But they've changed it so much, like the terrain does not look like a set of stairs.
Right.
But anyways, talk a lot about this. We're going to be sending more updates. It's one of my all-time favorite crafting games. One of my favorite turn-my-mind-off games. And there's two different reasons I game. Like, sometimes I want a game for story, but don't play something like Dragon Age or The Witcher or, you know, Knights of the Republic or Skyrim or whatever.
Much like Destiny, it's very much a game that we can sit down, whether we're by ourselves or we're playing as the group. It's very much a game you can just turn your brain off to.
Yeah.
And just do something.
And it's helped, too, because we've played so much Destiny. I'm glad you guys have been playing a little bit of this with me, because I'm kind of at a burnout point with Destiny until I do a Crota raid, which I want to do at some point.
Yep.
But I'm over-geared, basically, for a regular Crota raid. So, you know what I mean?
Not quite with the weapons, but yeah.
No, I think with the weapons, too. I have two exotics fully upgraded and three...
But, like, I know I'm not, because I don't have... I gotta get my Thorn fully upgraded. I gotta get a scout rifle that's worth a dick.
Well, I just...
Stuff like that.
The only thing I have left to do are just upgrade weapons. I got all my armor upgraded.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need armor. And then my weapons are all pretty decent. I mean, I could use an elemental primary, but...
Well, I could use some of the Vault of Glass armor, you know, from, like, a Vault of Glass heart.
No, you wouldn't. It all caps out lower than the stuff that you've gotten from Vanguard marks.
Really?
And I might be wrong on the Vault of Glass hard, but I'm pretty sure that it's all negated right now. Vault of Glass normal is set tuned for level 26.
Yeah, so everything caps at 300.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's... But, you know, that's something we like to do, but, you know, again, a raid can take you an hour and a half to 2 hours. So, and you gotta get a group together.
We got a Friday group.
Yeah, but then I'm working on Friday, so I never get into this shit.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Because people aren't impatient and can't wait till Sunday.
Right. I wouldn't mind doing it on a Sunday, but you fuckers sleep in till like noon or one.
Hey, don't lump me in with Rusty there.
I know. But I was going to say, as far as like actual games, new games with life, the only thing I'm looking forward to is Starships, which comes out here in a few days.
Yeah, and I might pick that up, but that's going to mean picking up.
It's $15.
And won't need Beyond Earth to run it?
Nope.
Sweet. I might just pick that up too then.
It runs on an iPad too.
Nice. Because I really wanted to pick up Beyond Earth, but you know, I want to make sure I've got the funds right now, but I want to make sure I've got our bathroom remodel.
All right, no, I got
planned out first before I go game crazy. Because I could totally go game crazy right now. Cause I
Your wife would kill you.
Because I've got over 15 grand sitting in a separate account, but my wife would definitely kill me.
Yeah, true that.
So.
But anyways, I was going to say, this episode is kind of just to let you guys know that we are working on some other stuff.
Yep.
And we're going to go in and do a little bit of news after this, but I want to just kind of let you guys know, Tilt Looks... is going to be something we'll be doing very regularly.
Yep. And it'll be either the full crew or Justin, Rusty, and I and a guest.
And we'll do that for about 45 minutes to an hour every other week, and then we'll do the long podcast every other week, and then if we can fill in between, if we got a lot of videos to do, then we'll do that.
Well, and once we have it streaming and going, and Trent has everything for video set up, and... you know, and we've got the the ability to throw intro on our own videos, stuff like that. You know, you guys might see us doing tilt plays just by ourselves. You know, hey, we're gaming this.
We're streaming.
Stuff like, and streaming, yeah. We'll definitely be doing that because OBS lets us stream and record at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, big pitch out to them. I know a lot of streamers use it.
That's a pretty kick-ass product.
A lot of YouTubers use it. You know, it's a product that was really built by streamers and YouTubers for streamers and YouTubers. So it's a great... If you're one of those people out there who's been, you know, wanting to do a YouTube video or play with streaming every once in a while, we definitely recommend it. Throw a shout out to them.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, other than everything we've talked about, the only other thing I've done this week is I did go ahead and, again, because my wife's been looking for something that we can play since we're down to a single Xbox One and don't really run the dual 360s a whole lot anymore. Looking for something we could couch co-op.
Some Diablo.
Which Xbox One doesn't have a whole lot of yet.
Diablo.
She's like totally against trying to learn Diablo 3 right now. Trust me, that was one of my suggestions. Picked up Lego Marvel Superheroes.
Fair enough.
And a lot of people might hate on the kid simplicity, because I will be honest, the controls are very kid friendly.
What do you mean by kid friendly? Is it just like there's attack, jump?
Yeah, it's X, A, B.
That's it?
And Y to switch characters. That's it. You know, of course you use your sticks to move, things like that. The couch co-op's kind of weird, though. Because, like, you're running two people in the same area of a screen. But if the two people get far enough apart that it's got to split the screen to be able to render the picture.
Yeah.
It does this dynamic active split screen where the split screen actually shifts around the screen based on your position in the map. So like if I'm in the bottom corner and she's in the top corner of the map, the screen is split diagonally.
That is weird.
And it moves as you move around the map. So I personally think it's a great, great idea. It's kind of hard to get used to. You know, we're sitting there fiddling with it, and it's just really hard to get used to. You know, it's... But... And I've always said this. The Lego games aren't bad. They can be kind of corny and kiddish with, you know, the scripting and everything else. Of course, they have to be because that's kind of their target audience. But, you know, it's very much still a solid game. You know, no big glitches with it or anything like that. You know, you can always destroy a whole lot of the environment, which is cool. You know, and it just, they can be just, again, very fun turn your brain off games.
Right.
You know. So as I play more of that, we're going to, I'll let you guys know about that, and if she enjoys that, I'll be looking at picking up the newest Lego Batman, because it's like all over the place in space and stuff. And actually let you guys know what we think and maybe, you know, change up the type of game that you guys are hearing about and seeing on the Tiltcast a little bit. Add a little bit more variety in there. So, well, but you know, just to kind of expand on what we were saying earlier, we will be for this week's video, we'll be playing Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah, because we've talked a lot about it on the show, and I feel like it's kind of time to show you guys what we're
Oh, wow. Those character models are awesome. Justin's sitting here looking at pictures on 7 Days blog. And
yeah.
I saw some hourglass figures with some fairly big boobs. So we'll be playing Darkest Dungeon. We'll be, you know, you'll get to see a little bit of me just kind of starting, and we'll be talking about the intro to the game and explaining some of the mechanics and such. And then, you know, we'll cut to Justin doing a higher version of the game and going to the higher points with you guys.
Well, and what it is, I kind of want to show you guys, take somebody like Jason who has never played the game.
Yep.
And just kind of show you how it intros in. We'll do a few minutes of that, and then I'll show you guys what the, I guess what's basically the end game of it right now, which is still fairly early. It's got a lot of content, even as it is early access. And most of the time with early access games, I'll be honest with you, most of them aren't worth playing. I will say the three that I've played that are worth a damn is Darkest Dungeon, 7 Days to Die, and Starbound. Starbound not until recently, but Starbound is definitely worth playing right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is maybe something else we can kind of go into with some of this early access stuff.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Definitely that. So, I think at this point, we've got about 30 minutes, so we're going to go ahead, take a break, work out some news, and figure out what else we might do. Because we want to try to give you guys at least a half-long episode, and we'll be back.
All right, see you guys in a minute.
And we are back from our break.
Yeah, we're just going to do a little bit of news before we jump into recording a video for this week.
Yep. Took a little bit longer on the news, but we were looking at some gameplay video for the new Final Fantasy and of course for the Wild Hunt, because, well, that's the game we're really looking forward to.
And I was trying to think of what we had missed by not going to PAX East, and it doesn't look like we really missed much. It was a lot of stuff that was just further looks into stuff that we already knew was coming out, like, you know, The Witcher and things like that. And well, that's all good and nice. I don't really, not that interested in any more DLC from Borderlands right now. I kind of want Gearbox to do something else. I know that Halo 5 is coming out. The only thing that I really learned from the PAX East news that I thought was really interesting is there's this little game called Jotun, which is basically like 80s animation, the style of like, I'd say He-Man's probably a good comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like Banner Saga, not quite as high quality. Basically, it's just boss battles in the game. Real big boss battles. And I guess they're saying it's going to be 5 boss battles.
Yep.
With some fairly simple controls. But looks really cool. I'd be into that. Even if it's $20 and it lasts me about 5-10 hours, I mean, that's a fairly good amount of money for something like that.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
So, really looking forward to that. I know there was some other bits of news that Jason caught that had to do with Wasteland 2 that I thought was really interesting.
Yep. Wasteland 2 will now be coming to the PS4 later on this year. In an announcement on the PlayStation blog by Eric Schwartz, they're releasing a full Game of the Year edition with some improvements. This is going to be the game on the full Unity 5 engine, which they've been working on for PC for a while.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the game with all of the enhancements. Let's see. Going through it here.
I think most of it had to do with, like, space, lighting and physics and character models.
Lightning Physics character models are doing a lot of improvement as far as characters, adding new perks and quirks, so you can build your character even more unique. And they're introducing a new precision strike aim shot, which will let you target individual body parts to cripple or stun enemies or shatter their armor so you can mop them up, giving you really what would be a whole lot more options in combat. And it's not like you were really limited on combat options in the first place.
No, I think it's interesting. They're continuing to support the game. I think going to PS4 is going to show a lot of people why people like us really liked it. Really hoping a lot of those changes come to PC, since I did kickstart the fucker.
I can imagine it will. I just imagine it'll probably be a game of the year on PS4 first. You know, just I don't see Brian exactly going away from PC.
No, and I think it's a good revenue stream for them to, like, really introduce some people that hadn't got it. I think PS4's gotten a lot of these games that people didn't expect it to get.
Yeah.
A lot of the quality indie games have actually been going to PS4, which Xbox would follow suit.
Oh, yeah.
Xbox has been getting garbage for the most part. I mean, aside from, like, the AAA stuff, like, their indie selection has been weird.
Well, you know, they tightened the... They tightened the reins on exactly what they were accepting, you know, how much updating you could do and so forth with the Xbox One. I see that starting to free up as they continue to make improvements. Because let's face it, I mean, Microsoft's still doing a lot of improvements to the console.
Yeah.
You know, PlayStation didn't even really open up the indie market on the PS4 until a few months ago.
No, it's been longer than that. PS3 had a lot of indie games.
No, I'm saying just on the 4. The indie market wasn't huge.
Well, that's because there wasn't anything to put on PS4.
Yeah.
But
they're starting to port a lot more of the indies from PC that happened in the last year to it.
Well, I mean, it's like you could share your Steam account, basically, with your PlayStation account.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a fairly big move. I mean, they've tried to do a lot of things that have been fairly innovative. I'm trying to partner with that, and I feel like sometimes the games that are on Steam in some way, shape, or form end up on the Sony network.
Yeah.
Some of them do. It's a very small percentage.
Right.
It'd be cool to see, you know, in a couple, 3 years, 7 Days to Die on PlayStation or Xbox One or something like that.
Yeah. Well, and I can't imagine, you know, that Microsoft's really going to let, for example, a game as big as Wasteland 2, if the reception's good on the PS4, to, you know, stay away from them for very long.
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's an indie game that sold like 100,000 copies, maybe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't like huge on the same scale as anything AAA. But the budget's a lot smaller, which means that for something like that, they had a budget that's a fraction of the amount of something like Metal Gear Solid or Final Fantasy or something like that. But speaking of Final Fantasy, we kind of looked at a little bit of that. Wasn't hugely impressed with the combat, since it looked like they were trying to put an action game in a Final Fantasy game. I hate to say that I'm one of those people that hates change. I think if it's not broke, don't fix it. But there was a lot broke about the last game where it played itself, and I will kind of credit that to For the Love of Gaming. They really nailed it, and they said, yeah, the biggest thing that I hated about that was the fact that Final Fantasy XIV played itself. I completely agree, which is why I can't really get into it.
Yeah.
This one didn't look like it played itself, but it looked like they tried to mix a little bit of tactics with Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't really any turn-based jack shit that I could tell. It was all learning how to dodge and parry and how to attack, and you switched up what movesets you're going to use with your left and right cross pad. But essentially, you were using real-time combat. I didn't see any paused combat at all.
I didn't either, except for when he went to, you know, customize weapon stuff.
Right.
So, I just don't know. They're going to have to show me something that's... I'm going to have to see a lot more of it before I buy into it.
I am too.
I am a huge Final Fantasy fan. Everybody knows all three of us, myself, Justin, and Rusty are.
We like a lot of older games. We're like, I really like 10. I really like 10. I think that's easily my favorite. I don't know, some people don't. I hate Blitzball.
Yeah.
But the mechanics in that were the most solid out of any of them that I've played.
I mean, then.
And Tactics is fucking awesome, too.
Tactics is awesome. You know, 7, 8, 9, 10 are not bad games by any stretch of the means. Did I necessarily like animation in 10? No, that's the one big drawback for me, but or in 9.
Well, I thought Tidus was a little bitch. I thought Yuna kind of sucked, or not, was it Yuna that was his love interest?
Yeah.
I thought she was annoying too, but Orin is fucking cool as shit.
Yeah, Orin's cool. I mean, as far as the animation on 9, I wasn't a big fan of it, but it was still a great game. You know, if I break it down to game mechanics and story, it was on par with some of the best Final Fantasy games there is. You know, 10 was just excellent. It just feels like every Final Fantasy game since has been a downgrade in quality.
I just feel like they ought to just quit calling it Final Fantasy if they're going to keep doing something that's so different from the... Like, there's no tie-in to the franchise other than there's, like, a dude named Sid.
Yeah.
Crazy Japanesey spiky hair and swords and magic and some of the same spell names.
Yeah.
Like, what is Final Fantasy at this point?
Yeah, exactly.
I have no fucking clue.
Yeah.
And the story just keeps getting crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier.
Yes. We're not seeing the epic, well thought out, put together stories like we did with 7, 8, 10. You know,
well, people can always go back to 7. I think 7 is not bad. Somebody's gonna hate on me for saying that, but it's dated at this point.
Oh, it's extremely dated at this point. But when you look at it, when you take yourself back to back when we first played it.
It was the biggest RPG that ever been made when it came out.
And it was the biggest story, you know. The story felt huge.
The kids that grew up with 360s in this generation that liked RPGs, that grew up with Skyrim as being their first game.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII was that game for a lot of people when we were kids because it was such a big, big fucking deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... It was the most massive game to that day. You know,
you can beat that in like what, 60 hours, or I don't even remember.
Yeah, but I mean the fact that if you went after everything, you could completely outrun the clock at 100 and something hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it just you know, the game was just massive, and it was a big success. They built on it with 8, though. You know, though. Got a little bit more emo with the main character, but you know, again, the story was good. With 9, they went a little bit more anime cartoonish, but still, again, great story. When it comes down to story and buy into the characters, 10 is the greatest shining example of what a Final Fantasy game can be, though.
No, I agree. I have a lot of the reservations right now. Even off, be completely wrong in that whole like combo system. I could have just been watching somebody that really sucks at that kind of game, and it could come across and be like, "Hey, this isn't quite Final Fantasy, but I really like the gameplay and this is fun." Or it could just be, "Here's more dudes with mullets and vests, and it's just gonna piss me off."
Yeah, exactly. Mullets and vests,
and
or
tribal
long
tattoos.
Long bangs and leather.
Right.
You know, I don't know. They've just got to do a whole lot for me buy-in again.
Now, looking at some other stuff, I mean, did you hear about that? I know I posted it to you guys, but Wolfenstein's getting a standalone prequel.
Yes.
It looks fucking badass. Called The Old Blood. It's going to run $20.
Yes.
And it's just a standalone DLC, kind of like Blood Dragon was for Far Cry.
Yep. And it looks absolutely amazingly fun.
It had a lot of different guns. I really like the fact that it wasn't a knife. It was like two pieces of pipe, and you took the piece of pipe and like pried things apart or hammered it into somebody's neck.
And watched like, the blurred blood squirt out the pipe.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
It's it looks gory in all the right ways.
Being able to pull up two freaking Gatling guns. Yeah, they're bringing that back.
It has that old school feel, like, again, the reason the other one, dual shotties, was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I am firmly on board with any kind of $20 is a good price to entry.
Yep.
For quality content. If it's good quality content for $20.
Yep. And again, another game coming out in May that'll be definitely worth a play.
Well, and it's standalone DLC.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's standalone, but...
Yeah. It says it right there. Standalone prequel.
Oh. Huh. That is... Boom. Pretty awesome.
Right on the video. You know, just lots of good coming out of that. Also, and again, after Ground Zeroes, I kind of got to do a bit of work to get my buy-in again. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, has been announced it will be released on September 1st. But, again, after giving me a $60 five-hour game, you're going to have to do a whole lot more.
What do you mean $60 five-hour game?
With Ground Zeroes?
Oh, it's $30.
Or $30, yeah.
$30 and it was an hour.
Yeah.
which is worse.
yeah, which is much worse. You know, you're going to have to do a whole lot better for that. I will wait and see what that game does before I buy it. Just being honest, guys.
There's a couple of things that, coming up in future weeks with Tilt Looks, I'll be looking at some other things. One of the games that I'm kind of waiting for it to update a little bit more that I did recently play a lot of was Massive Chalice.
Yep.
When that updates a little bit more, I'll play it and show you guys what that's all about. It's an tactics RPG made by Double Fine. It's actually really good. I have mixed history with what I like from Double Fine and what I don't. A lot of people know that I really don't like Broken Age, and I just don't. I'm not going to follow the media frenzy on it. I just don't like Broken Age one bit. Massive Chalice, though, does interest me quite a bit, so I'm not going to hold everything against. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah. Well, me either. I mean, I've played two.
I mean, there's a couple of games that I really like by Double Fine, but
yeah,
Broken Age is definitely on the very bottom of my Double Fine list by a long shot.
Yeah. Like Iron Brigade.
Awesome. Iron Brigade's pretty cool.
Awesome tower defense game. Loved it. You know, but again, Double Fine's just kind of one of those companies, I think they're still feeling out exactly what they're good at.
Well, they're good at certain things. And there are certain things that I don't know.
You know, I do applaud them for trying new stuff, like with their latest one. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what does. Other than that, I'm looking through here.
Not a whole lot else. I know that ESO is going free to play this month.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls Online, which I would be willing to check back out now that it's free to play and see what has changed. Yeah. Apparently they were doing something for people that paid a shitload of money from before. I know I've sunk $100 into that at least.
Yep. Other news from PAX East, Blizzard, at their press conference, gave everybody a look at, what Hearthstone's going to look like on smartphones.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
And saying that they're very close and that along with that, they're also very close at an expansion for it. Going by the name of Black Rock Mountain. Which will... the wings will contain a total of 17 bosses. 31 new maps and a new board game. So there's that to look forward to as well. Let's see here. Just perusing the news, just see if there's.
I don't think there was anything really else missed. I think that's the bigger stuff this week. Excuse me.
I don't know. There's one we almost missed. Valve also announced that they will be bringing Steam machines to the market sometime in November.
I guess we'll see what that means.
Yeah. If you look at the website right now, it's got it shows two different machines. Let's see here. It shows the Asus GR8S. Let's see here. Just pulling up some of the details on it. The starting price is at $699. It will have an i5 or i7 processor, depending on your price point. GeForce 9 series graphics card. Four to 16 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM. choices between a 500 gig or 1 terabyte 7200 hard drive, or a 128 gigabyte or 512 gigabyte solid state. ROG Supreme FX 5.1 HD audio card, and general Intel gigabyte LAN and Wi-Fi. And then the second machine is the Zotac Steam Machine SN970. Price point there is $999. It'll have a 6th gen Intel processor, GeForce GTX 970M with 3 gig GDDR5.
What does that one run?
$999.
Too expensive.
8 gigs DDR3 RAM and 2.5 inch 1 terabyte hard drive plus a 64 gig solid state drive.
Too expensive.
Too expensive.
I don't want to extend this podcast too much longer, but the big problem I'm seeing with Steam machines right now is the people that are making them are not willing to take a loss to try to make some money off of it. And if there was some kind of tie-in with Steam machines to make something so it's licensed to a Steam machine,
yeah,
I think they could actually stand to make a buck, but they can't cut any costs on this. So you got essentially a PC at $700 to $900, which doesn't compete with an Xbox One or a PS4.
Right.
You can buy an Xbox One for $350. There's no way in the world that somebody's going to spend that much for a comparable Steam machine at $600.
Well, you know, I mean, for even the $700 price point, I can go out, I can get a 970, I can get a new motherboard and processor, I can, and I can get a separate hard drive for my for my PC and be dual running Windows and the Steam OS on the same machine for the same $1,000, or I can, you know, go get a higher end, you know, like 770 or even 950, and, you know, again, new motherboard, processor, and everything for the $700 price point with a separate hard drive to run SteamOS on. So, I mean, these aren't... I don't know. This is trying to beat consoles, and I don't think they're at the right price point to do it.
I don't either. I think your console price needs to be something in the line of a 770. And a 770 is going to run you about $250 to $300, which is most of the price of everything. So that's kind of where console optimization kind of has you beat. Because yeah. that's still really close to the price of
yeah.
buying a console. Now you can do a lot more things with a computer, but I don't know. I could.
Granted, I know even the PS4 and the Xbox One, they're not going to be able to compete with a PC or a Steam machine as far as pure power video graphics. But they get close enough to that, you know, if I'm somebody out there now who has a Xbox 360 or a PS3, I'm going to go spend, you know, $400 to buy a PS4 or an Xbox One versus paying $700 or $1,000 for a Steam machine. And be able to basically do everything that the Steam machine's going to allow you to do.
Yeah, I really don't think that's a good price point to entry.
No. I think they should be... You know, I think they should
find a way to, and I know that some people hate on AMD, but if you want to do AMD, let's face it, is cheaper than anything NVIDIA. NVIDIA does make a higher quality product that does different things to the graphics, but you got Xbox and PlayStation both running on AMD architecture for cost savings.
Yeah. You know, go to AMD, get that price point for say the cheaper your Steam machines down to $500.
Yeah.
You know, you've just made yourself a whole lot more viable to the console gamers as a viable option to replace their console.
Yeah.
You know, you're just not going to get there at $700, $1,000.
Now they need to make a Steam machine that's just barely better.
Listen to me, Valve. You need to go make something on par or just slightly better than the current gen console.
At the same price.
You know, that's...
And then you can open up your Steam library to a shitload of people.
You know, you're not going to compete. Now, you know, there may be PC gamers out there right now who haven't upgraded their PCs in a while. May go... say, get the higher-end Steam machine, you know, buy a separate hard drive to run Windows off of, and they may, you know, just buy a Steam machine to run Windows off of. But, I mean, you're not getting yourself away from the PC market exclusively with this.
Well, with that, I think we ought to kind of wrap up so we can get this video recorded.
Yep.
Not a lot of games coming out. The big one is Starships comes out here on Thursday the 12th, which will probably be when this is posted.
Yep.
That comes out on iPad, and it also comes out on PC for $15. Find friends of the show at fortheloveofgaming.com. You can find the links in the bottom. Find noquarters.net, bmfcast.com, and tvchibi.tv, and they do good things. And find us at tiltcast.com, twitter.com/tiltcast. Facebook.com/Tiltcast. Search the group Tiltcast. Find us on Stitcher and on iTunes. And soon, well, you can find the real Tiltcast on Twitch and YouTube if you're posting some of this stuff too soon. Find our new Quick Look or Tilt Look that we'll be doing coming hopefully very soon. It'll be on the website, I'm sure, on YouTube and everything else.
And to the YouTube channel. Yep.
So with that, we're going to wrap this up and record a video. So we will see you guys next week.
Yep, see you later.